What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Victor Cruz Show. I thought I was going to do this show. Myself and Paul are remotely doing this show today. I'm in Los Angeles. He is in New York. I thought I was going to be alone because, as always, I'm punctual. You know what I'm saying? And Paul, he made it. He's here a little late, but he's here. He made it. So, talk to the people, P.
I just want to go on the record and say I'm not happy about me being in New York, you being in L.A. Somehow you always get the sweet end of the stick, Paul. Somehow you always end up with the sweet gig, and I end up, you know, in slush. It's slush over here.
It's all good. As long as you got your Keith Moncler scarf, you're good to go, Maji. You're good to go.
How's L.A. treating you, brother?
L.A.'s fantastic. I landed here and had to remove articles of clothing because I was so hot. I don't know if that's something you actually want to hear at this moment, but I was so hot, P, that I had to take clothes. I had jackets and things on. I was just taking things off. I don't know. That probably makes you a little upset, but it's the truth, and I can't shy away from the truth.
Let's just get on with the show, man. I don't even want to do it.
Okay. I want to start off something a little controversial by our guy Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who said that the NBA is going to take over as the league of America over the NFL.
Wow.
How do you feel about that, Pete? Your initial thoughts?
My initial thought is I would have thought that already happened, to be honest with you. Look, I think because of a lot of the things that are going on the field, the NFL's been in a little bit of trouble, right? Just given, you know, all the concussions and people retiring and CTE and all those types of things. But I think this year that's been compounded by the things going on off the field, right?
Yep.
No secret, the Trump thing, and we've talked about this both on air and off air. You know, athletes kneeling and this and that and how people feel about it. And, you know, we actually just had a very, I'll call it spirited conversation in Aspen, if you remember.
Spirited.
People thinking about that kneeling is being disrespectful to the flag, and we won't go down that path, but I'm not surprised at all, I guess, in a long-winded way of saying I'm not surprised at all, and I believe that it will happen. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Were you shocked?
Yeah, I agree. It's funny because, obviously, I've played in the NFL, and, you know, I'm still very, very much embedded in the culture, in the league, and the NFL, and the whole thing, and I think he's right. I think, A, obviously, because, you know, NBA, they're not wearing any helmets. So you get to see those guys. You get to, you know, love them as players, as people, their mannerisms when you're walking in, their fashion. You get to see so many different sides of them in just 2 hours of watching TV. You know what I'm saying? So football is getting a lot of attention because this is I truly believe that this year was a turning point in some way for the NFL. So much has gone on. So much has changed the way not only viewers watch the game, but parents, owners, different types of, you know, leaderships around the world have viewed this game as a violent game, as one that's highly political, and obviously the president has made it that way. And it's just a tough year for the NFL in general. I mean, half of your star players, if not, you know, all or majority, are injured, like season-ending injuries. And you don't have that same energy that you feel in the NFL as you do the NBA and things like that. So I think Kareem's got a point. I think anytime Kareem said something that has been a little controversial, I think he's always had somewhat of a point, and it begs the conversation. So here we are
I think you bring up excellent points as usual. I didn't even factor in the injury portion to it, right? Yeah. I was thinking about, like, so that's, you know, it's almost been like the perfect storm, right? Like, and I mean that in a negative way. It's been the perfect storm of, like, all of these things happening all at once with the NFL.
Yeah.
And all of the, flip that coin, the NBA's having one of their most successful, exciting.
It's crazy. It's crazy. LeBron's really playing out of his mind. Russell coming off an MVP year, still balling. All the energy of the trades from, you know, Carmelo, Paul George. You know, all the Kyrie is playing out of his mind as well. I mean, you got all this parity. The East looks like competitive. You want to watch the Knicks and Porzingis play. You want, like, all these teams have these great storylines in the NBA that are positive, that are player driven, and the NFL doesn't. They have things that are off the field that are more influential and talked about than the things that are on the field, and that's tough.
But even that being said, there's a lot going on with the NFL right now.
100%. And right. A lot, and they just renewed Roger Goodell's contract through 2023. I don't know if you know that.
I heard the bag was real heavy.
Heavy.
Heavy bag.
And it's just like we, and this is my personal opinion. This has no, obviously, I want to put up that NFL disclaimer that like this has not, you know, things
way,
that are said on this show.
I'm on the mute button right now, by the way. Go ahead.
But I do not believe in Roger Goodell, or not just Roger, but one person. I think this is the problem. I think it's a problem that we have one person that makes an arbitrary decision on the livelihood of these NFL players. Mm. And it's unfortunate and it's unfair that the opinion of one man is heavily deemed upon the players for honest mistakes that they've made in their lives, in their young lives. I mean, these players are 20 to 28 years old. Like, these are times they're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. They're human. They are going to make mistakes. If they get exonerated by the, you know, by the judicial system, by the government, by the police department, and they're exonerated, why do they have to still serve a 5-game suspension for the NFL? You know what I mean? That those are the things that kind of don't connect with me. Yes, I understand that the league may have been looked at in a bad shape, but a 5 or 4 or 3-game suspension doesn't warrant that, especially if all the charges were dropped. So those are things that I kind of battle with in my own mind, that one man has all of this power. You know what I'm saying, P?
Listen, you've played in the league and been, you know, super successful in the league. So I can only imagine how close it is to you and your heart and your colleagues and peers and friends. I can't disagree with anything you said. I got to agree with you 100%. As much as it pains me, I got to agree 100% with you.
Exactly. Okay, shifting gears in the NFL, Steelers-Pats. This could potentially be an AFC championship game preview, huge game. I think both teams are testing their playoff merit, how good they really are. And this game, I think it's on Sunday night or Monday night. I know it's on primetime television. Are you excited for this one, P? I'm excited for this one.
I'm excited, but I think we're excited for different reasons. And I know we didn't discuss this, but I definitely want to get your take on this.
Okay.
This, yes, could be a playoff preview, but maybe just as important, or maybe even more important, or definitely more exciting, potentially, is this could be the MVP preview.
Oh, wow.
And it's not between quarterbacks as it normally is.
Okay.
It's between the GOAT, Tom Brady, and someone that plays your position.
Antonio, is that where you're going?
That's where I'm going with it. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's even possible that a wideout can win MVP in this day and age?
I think it's definitely possible. In my opinion, a lot of it is unfair because a lot of the credit goes to the quarterback when the receiver does so well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Antonio Brown does so much so well when you give him the ball in space that a lot of it isn't always predicated on Ben Roethlisberger. It isn't predicated on Ben throwing it to the perfect spot and him making the catch each and every time. They give him the ball with 2-3 yards of space, and he'll go for 6. Like, that's easy. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's shown that this year on multiple occasions that he definitely has an argument for MVP. It's not far-fetched. Who was the last producer? Can we pull up who was the last wide receiver to win MVP? I can't even remember. Was Calvin Johnson, did he win MVP maybe? It's never happened.
Well, gentlemen, you're both a little wrong. I did my JV year.
Super Bowl.
High school.
You know what?
My JV year, my sophomore year of high school, I was playing a little bit of slot. I was playing, you know, on the outside as well. The team voted, which is what made it special. Look, I don't want to make this show about me, but I just wanted to clarify, make sure what we factual, you know?
Can I ask you a question? Was your Titi at that game?
Titi was at every game.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. Okay, so I want to raise a conversation here, right? As we know, Carson Wentz has been sidelined with an unfortunate torn ACL injury, just to add to the long list of star players in this league getting injured. Do you think Philadelphia Eagles should bring in Colin Kaepernick? Do you think Nick Foles is the answer? Should they bring in Colin Kaepernick? I know it's late in the season. I know it's week 14 or whatever the case may be. But Colin Kaepernick is out there. And in my opinion, I think he can help this team win. And if he comes in now and leads them through the playoffs and potentially to the Super Bowl, this could get interesting.
Here's what I'll say. I'm going to take all of the emotion out of it. I'm going to take all of the bias out of it, and I'm going to keep it as simple as I can. A team owner's, a team GM, and a team head coach, their job is all the same and very simple, to put their team in the best situation to win.
Exactly.
And very similar to how I feel about you and your situation to bring it close to home, he's at least owed the opportunity to come in and see if he can help them win. And the fact that he's not being brought in to at least see if he can help them win lets you know it's more than football.
I agree. And if they don't bring him in, it's extremely unfortunate for him in his career. Obviously, he's, you know, doing other things, and he's extremely happy with the things that he's doing off the field and making a change and being a voice for the youth and all the things that he's passionate about. But from a football perspective, it's just wrong, man. I mean, we've talked about this in our show before. It's just wrong. And it's just terrible that we live in an age where someone can't, you know, profess or have a voice about something they feel that's affecting our world without being, you know, ridiculed and subjected to this kind of separation from his career that has been going on. So it's you know, it just really rubs me the wrong way. That's all.
100%. And I think what rubs me the wrong way even worse than that is when people try to act like that's not, like, there is no other reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me, he's a starter. You can't tell me he's not a backup in the NFL,
exactly.
Right? We've
discussed That's my thing.
And going even further, now you have starters getting hurt with backups stepping up. He's not a third-string quarterback now?
Yep. The biggest slap in the face for me was when Ryan Tannehill went down in Miami, and they reached out to a guy that had already retired.
Mm-hmm.
And was already had a gig on TV about to do broadcasting.
Yep.
They reach out to him, and not only do they sign him, but they pay the man $10 million for that year. I'm talking about Jay Cutler, ladies and gentlemen. And don't even consider even giving Colin Kaepernick a phone call.
He's the same guy that said, I don't got to be in shape because I play quarterback.
Exactly.
Was that him?
Exactly.
But here's the thing, man. It's like, honestly, you know, that's just one snapshot of, like, the league, right? Like, there's so many instances of, like, clubs he could help. And again, listen, there's so many instances where we're not sure he can help.
Exactly.
But it cost them nothing to bring him in and see.
That's what I'm
saying. He hasn't even sniffed a look. Forget starting a look.
I think it's because of just the fan outrage, man. It's just, that's what these teams are scared of. That's what the ownership is scared of, is fans potentially boycotting or not coming to games.
Guess what, though, man? They're already boycotting.
Yeah, exactly.
Toilet, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to take an owner, you know, hopefully. But here's what I'll say, then we can move on from this. I'll say, your daughter's how old? How old's Kennedy?
She's 5 years old.
When Kennedy's 25, she won't even remember that Colin played football. She'll remember him for, like, the amazing, incredible movement-shifting things he did off the field.
Exactly.
So, to me, that's just, it's not even more powerful than anything he could have done on the field. It is unfortunate, but I believe that, you know, the change he's bringing and the change he will bring, the next generation and the generation after them won't even know he played football. They'll know him as being an activist, which I think is pretty
impressive. And sometimes that's even better. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's even better. So speaking of powerful and speaking of, you know, guys that do things that shift the culture and shift the world, Kith and LeBron James, and as well as Nike, of course, have collaborated on a shoe called, and not just a shoe, it's an entire project. There's visuals. There's an entire story that goes along with this shoe. And it's called the Long Live the King program with our guy Ronnie Feig and Kith and LeBron James. They recently just posted a video of Ronnie presenting this shoe to LeBron while LeBron's getting the cut. And he's basically explaining the shoe, and the shoe's super dope. So I guess on behalf of everybody here at the Victor Crew Show, we want to congratulate Kith and LeBron and Nike on an amazing collaboration. Did you see the shoe, P? You like it?
I did see it. I think for me, it hit maybe closer to home than most, and I know you feel the same. You know, the word collaboration is one that gets thrown around far too often and every day. And I have a friend, you know, shout out to Richie Cruz and Ruben Rivera, if they're listening, that they always joke, like, who's next? Windex? Who's next? Like, you know, like, people are doing collabs with brands just to do them. And I think this is one of those that when you saw it, you're like, hell yeah. Yep. It makes perfect sense, right? And I think both brands got something out of it, right? So, you know, Ronnie and Kith got something out of being able to work with LeBron, and LeBron and Nike got something out of being able to work with Kith.
Exactly.
I thought the shoe itself was super dope. I've come to expect the rollout. You know, Kith might be the best in the business, and just how they storytell, how they get. They don't just do a shoe or a product and say it's gray and black because it's gray and black.
Yep.
You know, there's a story behind everything, so I thought it was dope. I thought the telling sign for me, and, you know, LeBron and I go back a lot of years now at this point. You saw the video. You just referenced it. When he saw the shoe, he was actually quiet.
Wow.
Right? That lets you know, like, he was, like, taken aback, like, oh, shit, like this is dope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is a guy that's been doing this 15 years now. So it takes a lot to kind of, you know, make him speechless, and he was speechless. I thought it was super dope. I love everything about it.
I mean, the collaboration is dope. There's actually apparel and stuff that goes along with all of this. And I know there's a couple colorways dropping. It's gonna be dope. I just, you know, RF, Kith, I'm a size 11. P's the same size. I'll wait for my pair in the mail. However they come, I'm not picky at all. PR's the picky one. He wants it delivered with bows and wrapping papers to holidays. I don't need that. Throw it to me in a bag, plastic bag. I'm good, you know? I'm from Patterson. It's all good.
The problem here is, you just mentioned it, we're both a size 11.
That's the issue. That's the issue.
You'll just assume they're for you. If they're dressed in the show, how you know it's not to me?
Oh, man. Okay, I want to segue into an interview with my guy, Mercedes Lewis, came on the show, man, and gave us a great interview. We're going to pitch it to him right now, to that interview right now, and then we'll rejoin you guys shortly.
Bortles, deep shot. What a catch! Lewis again! Second touchdown today for Mercedes Lewis.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Victor Crew Show. We got my guy on the show. I'm excited to have my brother on here, man. He's always been a good dude, one of the, you know, longest tenured players in the NFL as well, always killing it year in and year out. Mercedes Lewis, how you doing, man? Talk to the people.
I'm doing good, man. What's going on? I'm just in between meetings. I just got the cold tub, getting ready for the Texans launch.
Nice. That's what's up. Okay, before we get this thing going about all the football and all the rah-rah questions, I got some rapid fire, some fun stuff to kick off the show. You ready?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. If Mercedes Lewis wasn't a football player, what would he be?
If I wasn't a football player, I'd probably be hooping somewhere.
That's true. I have seen the footage of you hooping. You got some game, G. I can't even front on you on that one. Okay, like me, obviously you're into the fashion. Obviously, both very fashionable dudes. What's your go-to fashion tip if somebody asked you something about fashion?
My go-to fashion tip? Simple is perfect, period.
That's what's up. That's always my motto, too. Less is more. You don't want to do too much, man. There's a lot of guys out there doing too much.
Exactly. I'm not necessarily I don't have to have, like, four different labels on. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that crazy. I feel like if I can keep it simple, but then have one thing that's like a conversation starter, then I'm good.
Exactly. That's all you need. Okay, next question. Biggie or Tupac?
I don't do this.
I'm putting you on the spot. You know that.
Oh, my God. I mean, obviously, I grew up on the West Coast. I'm from Long Beach. So, you know, I had to go with Tupac, but Biggie, I listened to both of them equally growing up, you know, so it's kind of tough. I mean, both of them were lit, but I probably have to go with Tupac.
Okay, I respect that. I'll be the East Coast representative and say Biggie. We'll play both sides of that coin. Okay.
For sure.
MJ or LeBron? We hitting the tough ones today.
Yeah. Damn. I played against LeBron in high school.
How many points did he put up on you?
He put up 44 points on our guard.
Wow. I love how he says on our guard. Like, you wasn't on the team too, though.
Right. Well, it's crazy because, I mean, he was my size playing guard, and I was a four.
That's crazy.
And I played against him in the big-time tournament in Vegas, and he got busy on our team. So obviously MJ, but, I mean, I've seen all of LeBron's games, basically, and watched him actually grow into who he is right now. So LeBron is like a close second.
Okay. That's how I got it too. I'm not ready to put him over MJ just yet, man. I'm just not ready. And it's funny when you look at the bodies of work. LeBron definitely has an argument, especially in assists and rebounds and all of that.
Exactly. LeBron is eating, and he's always been eating. And as far as like stats and all of that, like he's lit, bro. But the championships is what it is, you know.
100%. So it's kind of like it's about them rings, and he knows that.
You have a tough argument.
Exactly. Okay, last question, Mercedes. How many Mercedes do you actually own?
I don't own any. I got a Range Rover.
Oh, the irony in that. All right, man, let's get into some football stuff. I mean, just talk about your longevity for a little bit, man. You've been playing in the league since 2006. Just to name some guys in your draft class, MJD, Greg Jennings, Devin Hester, all these guys the guys I just mentioned are all done playing. I mean, you played in over 10 games and 11 of your 12 seasons. Like, what's this vibe of this season compared to other seasons in your past? I know you guys are top of the division, balling out of control. What's the vibe of this year compared to others?
You know what? I think it's more of a culture shift this year. You know, years before this year, it's like, you know, I've been on some good teams, but we've never been on the same page. Equally, you know, from top to bottom, whether it be in the locker room or, you know, just in the building, as far as management in general, just we haven't been on the same page. And I think this year, you know, everybody's just all pulling in the same direction. You got young guys who, you know, are following the lead of the older guys who get it. You know, you got older guys in here that are not necessarily bitter about, you know, getting paid, but actually winning ball games, and I think that's first. Foremost, and everybody gets it. So, you know, it's been a pleasure to go to work every morning.
That's one of the biggest things for me, especially when, you know, with the Giants, when we were winning games, it was so much about feeling that camaraderie and things clicking at the right time. I think, you know, there's games that go on in the regular season where you're winning games and you're having a good year, but there's something, those special teams just have something that click at the right time. And you start winning games, and it starts snowballing, and then everybody's having fun, and that's when you know you got something special. And I think just watching the Jaguars this season so far, you guys have that kind of camaraderie with everyone being in that special place, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I feel like, you know, it all started in camp. Like, this year was one of our toughest camps that, you know, I've been here, and, you know, I really understood it. Understood that this is going to be a good year is when, you know, we were actually like fighting again in practice. You know, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, we've definitely created an environment where, competition is number one, right? And making sure that everybody is playing at the level that, you know, you can respect and know that they're going to bring their stuff every single Sunday. And so, you know, that's trickled over into, you know, us putting the best product out there on the field. So, it's a good feeling.
That's what's up. I mean, I was gonna wait to ask you this. I didn't, you know, before I knew you were gonna be on the show, and I was gonna ask you this in person. But how much, if any, has Coach Coughlin? I call him Coach still, obviously, but Tom Coughlin. Right. How much is he around? Is he hands on? Is he talking to guys? Like, you know, is he kind of out the way, kind of managing things from a bird's eye view? I know that's not his style at all.
He's definitely not out the way. But he's at practice. He's in every single meeting. He's everywhere. His handprint is on everything that we do around here. Yeah. And, you know, it's been good for us because we're such a young team. And it's good for them to know what the culture is supposed to be like, right? And he's one of those guys that, you know what you're going to get out of him every single day. And those are the people that you respect. You know, if you're going to be strict, then be that every single day. You're going to be, you know, a coach that's you know, unless you get away with it a little bit, be that way every day. You know, and he's definitely a guy that knows what he wants. And, you know, he rubs off on everybody in that way. So it's been good.
That's what's up. I mean, I remember when I was playing, or, you know, a year ago, I had Odell Beckham. He was kind of the young kid that, you know, kind of looked up to me, and we had a great relationship, still have a great relationship, a mentor, kind of a mentorship kind of thing with him and I. And I know you have guys like Jalen Ramsey and obviously Leonard Fournette. What role do you play in the mentoring of those young guys? Because they're tremendous talents that are going to be a part of that Jaguar organization for a very long time. How do you go about just keeping their heads on straight and making sure that they see the bigger picture?
Well, you know, for me, I'm not necessarily a rah-rah type leader. I go and, you know, lead by example and do things the right way and rub off on people in that way. And, you know, I've talked to both of those guys on a couple of different occasions just on how to conduct themselves as pros and how to, you know, just trust the process. You know, it's easy when you come from winning organizations that when you get in the league and you don't win as much. You know, fortunately this year we've been on the better side of the stick, but you don't always win as much. You know, you come in the league and you face some adversity, it's good to have an older guy to kind of sit you aside and let you know how it's really supposed to be. And so, you know, those guys are remarkable young talents and going to be good for a very long time in this league, and, you know, we're blessed to have them on this team.
That's dope. I remember guys like Osium and your Justin Tuck. Those are guys I had kind of coming up and teaching me the ropes. And obviously, as a, you know, as a free agent, you listening to anybody that has any type of clout, you know, ahead of you in that locker room. So having guys like that definitely helped me,
for sure,
you know, progress. Okay, so I want to talk about your quarterback a little bit. I watched you guys. I was doing some work, some work with Yahoo, and I went to the game in London really early in the season. And Blake Bortles actually looked good. You know, he was throwing the ball well. You caught an ill touchdown early in the game. I think you had a couple that game, actually. And it was just a good game to watch, and I was impressed with how he was able to deliver the ball and really command that offense in that game. Obviously, he's had his ups and downs throughout the year, but in the last three games, he's got six touchdowns and just one turnover. Talk to me about how he's progressing and what you've seen in him this year.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, when we lose – you know, Blake takes the brunt of that. And when we win, I think he should take the brunt of that as well. Blake is a guy that wants to be really good in this league, is very coachable, doesn't blame guys when, you know, they're not in their right spots or where they're supposed to be or they're dropping balls. You know, like he's just always one of those guys like, hey, we'll get it next time, right? And so I've literally watched Blake from the inception when he first got here to now. Just the way he commands the offense, the way he is in the huddle, you know, the maturation process that he's gone through over these last two or three years is just totally different. And it's good to see him in a space where, you know, he knows that we believe in him and that, you know, we have each other's back. You know, I think the biggest jump, you know, Blake has made is the stuff in the huddle. Right, you can always tell, you know, what kind of confidence your quarterback has in the huddle before you can get to the line of scrimmage, right? And he definitely has stepped it up from that standpoint. He gives everybody hope when he's in the huddle. So by the time we get to the line of scrimmage, we know that he's making his reads and that he's sharp, and that goes a long way.
That's the biggest tell sign, man. There's a noticeable difference when you step in the huddle with a guy like Eli Manning. And then you step in the huddle with the guy, you know, the next year I'm in Chicago and you got a guy like Mike Glennon comes in the huddle. No disrespect to Mike Glennon, but you just know, you can tell the difference in the level of confidence between Eli Manning and Mike Glennon. You know what I'm saying? So when they come the huddle and that starts to change and you feel that confidence in the play calling, then you can see the change in their demeanor and their play on the field. And I think that's what's helping Blake. And obviously, a run game like Leonard Fournette keeping everything balanced and a defense like y'all got. I mean, it's easy to be confident too when you got that support cast.
No question about it.
Y'all had a big win against the Seahawks, man. Take us into that locker room after that win.
Man, I don't want to sound cliche, but it was literally like it was just, it was another game for us, right? Like, even going into that whole entire week, it was like, okay, we know who we have coming in here. We know what they are. But don't make too much of it, right? We got to go out there and still do what we're trained to do and do what we're coached to do. Nobody has to go out there and be Superman or do anything more than what you're coached to do. And I think that was the emphasis that whole entire week. And so by the time we got out there, it was just like, okay, let it fly. We're about to really see what's really good, right? You got two defenses that have the same scheme, right? And then, you know, you go to our offense who, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but we know we have a really good run game once we get going, and Blake has been playing lights out the last few weeks. So it was just about just going out there and seeing what happens, you know? And we went out there and took care of business and played physical, fast, and, you know, the locker room was – not overly lit, but it was a good win for us.
It's tough in the league too because you get in those positions where you got these big games on the schedule and you get geared up for them and you play well and then you win them and you're excited about it. But it's like, okay, we got to flush next this week. One because we got to get ready for the next one. You know, you can only enjoy those games. You plan 6 days for one day and you enjoy and you win it and you can only enjoy it for a couple hours till you got to get ready for the next one. The game is so tricky like that.
Never get it.
Exactly.
Like next game mentality, you know?
100%. So you guys are heading into the playoff stretch. Only a couple games left in the regular season. Obviously, you guys are leading the division right now. And you guys are just getting ready for that nice playoff push in order to play for home field advantage. How's Mercedes getting prepared for this stretch, man? How are you getting ready?
Well, for me, you know, mentally – is where it's at for me. Obviously, I work my mind, you know, more than I work my body. You know, I'm pretty, you know, I'm healthy, no major injuries, just continuing to do my routine or whatever, but just mentally staying intact and making sure I bring the young guys along with me and, you know, making sure they understand that, you know, the opportunity that we have right now, it doesn't happen all the time. I'm in my 12th year. I'm 33 years old. I've been to the playoffs once.
Wow.
You know, so I think perception and reality and that thin line between those two is super important in letting them know, you know, how important it is to really seize the moment.
Absolutely. I think people need to understand that, man. There's guys that play in this league for years and don't ever make it to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? You got guys that are, you know, Joe Thomas is like a perennial Hall of Famer already, and he hasn't been to one playoff game. Right. Like, that's insane.
Right. That's we got insane. A guy on our team, Paul Puzlesny, in his 11th year. This is his first winning season.
That's crazy. Like, that's crazy.
Like,
but it puts it all in perspective,
man. And I can tell you that I know it's not because of him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You got really good players that have never really experienced a winning season.
100%. And I always say it's not always the best teams that win Super Bowls. It's always the healthiest teams that get hot at the right times. Literally, that's it. So before I let you go, I got a couple questions for you. What are you listening to right now, Mercedes? What's in the headphones before games, in the whip, when you're driving to the game or driving to practice or just chilling? What's bumping right now?
I got a little Travis Scott, got a little Jay-Z. Normally, when I'm stretching or I'm out there on the field getting ready, I like to listen to, like, dubstep.
Okay.
A little bit of house. Like, that's just how I am. I mix it up a little bit.
I like it. That's what's up. How do you feel about Chip Kelly is now the head coach of UCLA. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I think it's a good move.
I think he's a really good collegiate coach. You know, he actually reached out, so I'm going to be talking to him after this week, you know, just to go over the coaching and stuff like that. But I think it's going to be good for, you know, the university and a step in the right direction.
That's dope. I love Chip Kelly. A lot of people don't know this, but I believe he was the offense coordinator or the head coach of the University of New Hampshire when I was at UMass, and they were our rivals. Okay. So for 3 years, they were literally our rivals, and we would play them. And his offense was so crazy. Like, we would literally stand up and watch his offense from our offensive perspective,
right,
when they were on the field, because it's just like, he's got all these different plays and crossing routes and, you know, different handoffs. Sure. You're just like, what's going on? So I'm excited to see Chip Kelly perform in UCLA, man. Mercedes, I want to thank you for jumping on the show, dog. Always appreciate you. You're my brother, of course. So good luck to you the rest of the way. I'll obviously be tuned in. And you're definitely welcome to come back on the show whenever you like.
Yeah, no question, man. Thanks for having me. Shit, I'll see you soon, bro. Appreciate you.
Say no more, bro. Be good.
All right, man.
All right, peace. I'd like to congratulate my guy Mercedes Lewis joining the show again. He said he played against LeBron. I don't know if you heard, but he played against LeBron in high school during his AAU run. And the first thing I go is like, how many points did he have on you? And he said 44. But he said the best part he said he had 44 on our guards. I'm like, bruh, you weren't playing? Like, what are you talking about?
People get defensive quickly. They're like, nah, like I was on the bench when he did that. Exactly. You only had like six against me.
Oh, like, nah, he dunked like six times, but I wasn't there. Like, I wasn't, I wasn't under the basket or anything. But shout out to Mercedes Lewis. The Jacksonville Jaguars are top of the division right now, killing it, getting ready to make that playoff push. And obviously, P, they're fighting for that number one spot so they can get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And I think Jacksonville hasn't had that in God knows how long. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So,
yep. You know, it's interesting, too. The little bit I've seen of them, like, they're playing with a, and I hate this word, but they're playing with a swagger defensively that you've never seen from them before.
100%.
They're exciting to watch, so I'll keep an eye on them as well.
Speaking of exciting to watch, me and you had a conversation about this, P, via, I think it was like Instagram. I mean, me and P talk on like 9 different like networks. It's either Instagram or text message or he'll call me. but we had this MVP conversation in the National Basketball Association. And obviously, LeBron is always in the conversation every year. But this year is different because LeBron is doing things in his 15th year that we haven't seen before. He has 17 assists the other night, P?
17 assists.
I mean, come on. Like, let's be serious.
He had 25, 17 assists, and 7 boards, I want to say. Don't quote me. And the 25 was on 11 of 13 shooting.
Just efficient. Passing the ball well, giving it to guys in spots to make open jump shots and opening them up with the pass game and backdoor. I mean, he's got eyes in the back of his head, man. But it's hard not to talk about James Harden.
Yeah. Like, because
James Harden is out here wilding. Like, seriously. But obviously, LeBron, he's just doing so much for his team. And you know, the argument, I guess that's what makes the NBA so great, is that the argument can always go either way. You know, who's able to sustain that in the long haul is the question. But who you got right? I think I know the answer to this right now, but who you got in the MVP race right now, P?
Yeah, listen, I mean, everyone knows where I'm going with this, but I'll give the reason first. I think when you look at most valuable player, it's the player that's most valuable to his team. And I would argue with anyone, including James Harden himself, that no one is more valuable to his team and does more for his team than LeBron James. Both, not taking anything away from James Harden, not taking anything away from the sensational season Kyrie Irving's having over in Boston. He's playing lights out and has done playing lights out.
Jersey. He's from New Jersey.
He's a Jersey, but in terms of playing both sides of the floor, in terms of playing point guard when you're down 2 point guards, in terms of guarding the best player on the other team, in terms of taking over in the fourth quarter and leading the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. I mean, anything his team needs, he does. Right now they're playing without the third leading scorer in the NBA last year. Isaiah averaged 29 last year.
Yep.
He's playing without him and has them, you know, I think they've won whatever it is, 14 out of the last 15 or something. You know, they're playing without Tristan, so he's played big when he needs to play. I mean, he does it all. That said, James Harden, to your point, is having an incredible year as well. I mean,
incredible year.
The ease in which he scores the ball
insane.
It's crazy. It's almost like the game's in slow motion for him.
Exactly. Like he can get to any spot in the court, any shot he can make. He's got range. He can go to the rack. He'll bang on you if you slipping down there. Yeah. Like, he's got so much to his game, but LeBron is so impressive. Because, and you alluded to it, losing Derrick Rose for a couple games or however long he's been out. Isaiah Thomas obviously hasn't played in the Cavalier uniform yet. You know, guys are injured. Kevin Love was out of the lineup the other night. Like, you know, guys are just, they're just plugging guys. Kevin Love's out for a month?
Tristan's
out for a month. Like, you got guys that they're just interjecting, and LeBron is making everybody look great. And I think that's what exemplifies a star and an MVP. So we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a tight race.
Let me ask you this. I'm not going to let you off the hook. I won't ask you who you think is going to win MVP. Who are your top 4 MVP considerations?
Top 4 MVP consideration? I got to go in no specific order.
No order. But put LeBron first.
LeBron James. James Harden, Kyrie Irving.
Where it gets spicy.
It does get spicy because I like the Greek Freak, man. I got to give him some consideration. I mean, he's been killing it. It's either him or I got to go. Who's the fourth? This is a toughie.
That might be it. And I will say this: I'll give an honorable mention to that unicorn playing in the Big Apple, man. Good 100%, lord,
100%. He's doing things. It's so funny to see him play, P, because we've seen him a couple times. He doesn't have a lot of moves. I mean, he can put it on the ground and get to the rack when he needs to, but he'll literally catch the ball, foul line extended, turn around, and he's so much taller than you that he's just shooting right over the top. Like, it's like you're not even there.
Well, it's one of those, you and I have been to, I think, two games now this year. I could be at a game with you on the floor. I can be at home on my couch by myself. And I find myself saying the same exact thing, whether to you or to myself, every time I see him play. 7'3" ain't supposed to be able to do that.
1,000%.
That's what he crossed someone over. He hit a three from like 5 feet. I mean, he's exciting to watch, man. He's got the city super excited. So
he is. He's definitely fun to watch. Okay, P. So I'm in L.A. I know I mentioned that before.
I'm clear. I'm clear that you're in L.A., man. I'm clear.
It's sunny here and hot.
So ridiculous.
But I'm driving around and I'm seeing all these Star Wars posters, billboards, freaking bottle tops. Like, it's everywhere around here. Are you a Star Wars guy, P? Do you watch The Last Jedi and all of that? Are you into that?
Vic, let me tell you something, man. Let me be very clear. I am a grown-ass man, dog.
Yo, all there's right? grown men that love Star Wars, literally.
Oh, there are. I mean, I would even go take it a step further than that. There's grown-ass men with children at home that dress up in, like, full, like, Darth Vader or anyone else, Chewbacca or whoever else the characters are.
The best part is when they dress up their kids as like Obi-Wan Kenobi and like,
like be my backup singer, fam. Like it's like they camp out, like they go to the movies in full character. Like it's actually one of the most impressive things. And I'm trying to think now if there's been another like movie franchise that's had the run they've had that's been, you know, that came out the gate as important and still has the relevancy this late in the game. I mean, no.
Well, the only one comes to mind is like Harry Potter, but they haven't had as many movies or hasn't been around nearly as long as Star Wars.
Are you going to go see Star Wars? Are you going to go check it out? Are you into it? Like, are you?
I'm probably not. I've probably got a lot of other things on my schedule, really, so I don't really have time for Star Wars.
Here's the wild shit. I guarantee that if you or I went to go see it, it's probably...
We'd love it. It's probably fire. You know, and this is going to be no shocker to you, P. You know who loves the Star Wars franchises?
Who?
13th Witness.
Of course he does.
He loves these Star Wars. He's like, yo, I hope the new joint is better than the last one. He's giving me storylines. And I'm like, yo, Timmy, I don't know anything about any of these Star Wars movies, dog.
He is. That's because he is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
All right, we got to go. On that note, we got to get out of here, man. We want to thank you guys for tuning into the Victor Cruz Show.
My name is Victor Cruz. Just letting you know right now, Vic, I'm not doing this again in New York and you in L.A. Either we're both in L.A. or we're both in New York,
Listen,
man. I'm not
doing this. Priorities must be met. If I'm in L.A., we got to do the show out here. I can't help that. Just bring your parka so you're good when you're getting in and out of the studio, B. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. We appreciate y'all. Catch you on the next one. Peace.